you're not in the great outdoors, we're thinking about it. Kender Outdoors, presented by the Dallas Safari Club. Come on into the camp house and make yourself at home.
If you drill a hole in the ice to fish or enjoy open water all year long, you are the DSC. The hunter that glasses for sheep at 12,000 foot and the squirrel hunter with this .22 rifle are part of us as well. DSC offices in Dallas, but fights for you no matter where you enjoy getting outside. BigGame.org.
Hey, it's camp house time again here at DSC's Kender Outdoors, and I'm glad it is. It's my favorite part of the week. Thanks for joining us, hanging out with us. Front Door to the Camp House is brought to you by Calming Care from the trusted name Purina. If you have an over-barker, over-jumper, you love him, but he's just a little too active, to put it mildly. You might want to take a look at Calming Care with no negative side effects, but some really good ones. Learn more when you come see me at KenderOutdoors.com and click on that Calming Care label at the bottom of the page. Hey, right off the bat, I want to say thank you to everyone who is spending their precious time with my friends Jim Shockey and Anthony Pace with Freedom Hunters this weekend. It's time for the Jim Shockey Classic tomorrow and Monday. Wild Dunes Resort, Isle of Palms, South Carolina. They're going to raise a lot of money for our very finest and send our bravest and finest on world-class hunting and fishing trips. It's incredible therapy for these folks. Anthony, Jim, thank you for your heart in this. I'll see you there next year. And by the way, they've got some great auction items that you can bid on online. And I've got the link at KenderOutdoors.com. You can bid until 9 p.m. Eastern Time tomorrow, March 28th. Another big giant outdoor event with national interest takes place on Lake Fork, Texas today, the land of giants. And I'm talking crappie. It's time for Crappie Fest. I've got my buddy Jay Reeve on that Kinder Outdoors trot line right now to talk about it. Jay, this time of year, it's really hard to concentrate on your work when all you can think about is those big, fat female crappie up there spawning right on the shoreline.
I thought I was the only one.
No, you ought to see the boat ramp at the places I like to go. We're not the only ones. There's a line over there.
Exactly.
This is the big day. 8th annual Crappie Fest on Lake Fork, which is known for giant bass. But, oh, my goodness, if you keep up, do a little research and reading, you'll notice that some giant crappie come out of there on a daily basis, Jay. It's a crappie factory.
Oh, it really is. I mean, whatever it is that makes Lake Fork so special for bass, it works on the crappie, too. There's just an amazing number of crappie and amazing quality and size. There's a tournament last Saturday, a 311 was weighed in, a 291. I think they said there was like eight fish over 2 3/4 pounds. I mean, it's just amazing the quality and size of fish that come out of Lake Fork this time of year.
The numbers, like every now and then you hear about a 2.5 or 3 pound crappie coming from a spot. But my goodness, day after day after day, this happens out on Lake Fork. And if it happens to you today, you could go home with a bunch of money in your pocket, because this is today the richest one fish crappie tournament on planet Earth. You guys are going to pay out some dough today at Crappie Fest.
We sure are. We're going to pay out a grand total of over $39,000 for catching crappie. And if you catch the big crappie, if you catch a 3-pounder, you could win over $13,000 for that one fish. So it's going to be a lot of fun. We have a lot of ways to win. Even if you don't catch a monster, there's still a lot of opportunities to win some cash. It's going to be a lot of fun today.
What if I'm just now hearing about Crappie Fest on Lake Fork and I haven't signed up, but I'd like to fish. Can I still do that?
You bet. Absolutely. Come by Lake Fork Trophy Lures this morning between 6 a.m. and 7 a.m. We're set up out in the parking lot. Come by, fill out the form, and go fishing. It's as simple as that.
Okay. So as long as you're there by 7 a.m. Central Time, and I know some of you folks are hearing this a little later in the day. I'm sorry you missed it, but there's always next year. You can come out because I know you guys are planning on a a ninth annual Crappie Fest at Lake Fork because it's too special not to do it. It benefits the National Ovarian Cancer Coalition. What is that, Jay, and why these folks?
Yeah, the NOCC, National Ovarian Cancer Coalition. My wife is an ovarian cancer survivor. She is a 5-year survivor, and the folks at the NOCC they do great work in this field, and we do what we can to support them. And Crappie Anglers of Texas and the Crappie Fest organization has been gracious enough to let us help support this organization. And $25 of every entry fee goes to the NOCC, and we're just very grateful for the support.
Boy, that's awesome. And it's today, the world's richest one crappie. All you have to do is catch a crappie and go weigh that bad boy in. You could win big today at Lake Fork. And there's more online. If you need to look at these details, where can we find it, Jay?
Go to www.crappiefest.com.
They're going to have a boatload of fun out on Lake Fork today. And I promise you, there'll be anglers from all over America out there. This corner of the Camp House brought to you by Calming Care. It settles the overactive dog. It's not a drug. It works very gently over time. Learn more about Calming Care when you come see me at KinderOutdoors.com.
Good morning, everybody. This is the Pig Man, and we're about to shoot some swine. When I'm not in the great outdoors, I'm thinking about shooting some pigs with Kinder Outdoors.
Like everyone, the conservation world has been down a rough road lately. The money generated through science-based and properly regulated hunting, both here in the U.S. and abroad, is the key pillar of support for wildlife and wild places. I'm Corey Mason, Executive Director at Dallas Safari Club. Poaching, drought, antis that would put a stop to hunting and the shooting sports, right and proper education of the next generations of outdoorsmen and women. These things don't stop because of a pandemic, and at DSC, neither do we. Many hundreds of mission-minded volunteers work without glory or headlines year-round for the DSC mission. That mission is clear-cut. True conservation work worldwide, sharing our beloved and precious heritage with all that will hear and take part, and defeating those that would rip up your Second Amendment and rights to hunt and fish. I invite you to come and join us. It all starts at biggame.org.
Way out in West Texas on Highway 287, about 40 miles east of Amarillo, is one of the coolest roadside stops that you'll find. Right there on the south side of the highway sits the Buffalo Gold Hardware Store. Buffalo Gold features wonderful Western art, one-of-a-kind jewelry, and all things Buffalo. Belts, boots, and bison leather products of all kinds. Our buffalo wool socks, gloves, hats, beanies, and more will keep you warm like never before during the coldest winters. And that road trip will feel better, too, with a soft and cozy buffalo down knit throw or lap robe. Unique and beautiful Damascus steel kitchen knives. Vintage Navajo sterling and turquoise jewelry. A huge selection of bison moccasins. Shoes and boots for hunting, working, or just looking great. Stop in and see us at the Buffalo Gold Herdware Store. Yes, we do have our own herd, 40 miles east of Amarillo near Goodnight, Texas. BuffaloGold.net. National outdoor writer Ken Kirkaby knows of what he writes.
I think I probably hunted in just about every western state. And I fly fished in a lot of those places.
He's fished the waters, walked the land, and harvested the game that makes him authentic.
That's where the basis of that comes from. I wanted to make this really authentic, and I wanted people to identify with it. Guys like you and I have a real hard time finding good stuff to read, because it's written by guys that just don't know what the heck they're writing about. And guys like you and I, we read two pages and we say, hey, that's phony. This is not the way it is.
Ever since The Old Man and the Sea, fishing novels have been scarce on the horizon. That was until national outdoor writer Ken Kirkaby wrote his Blue Water classic, The Tournament. Chuck Winchler of Sporting Classics says you can read The Tournament in about the time it takes to catch a big marlin. And every moment will be just as fun, just as exciting. Jennifer Mayhall of Paradise This Week says, The Tournament reels you into the world of sport fishing and doesn't let you go. The Tournament by Ken Kirkaby. Get it on Amazon. If you fry your turkeys during the holiday season and you're tired of the hassle of pots, open flames under hot oil, and sticky, oily messes, Then it's time to take a good look at the Cajun Fryer by R&V Works. The original, the last fryer that you'll ever need to purchase. Cajun Fryer puts pro-level frying gear in your backyard or hunt and fish camp. These are high-performance, low-maintenance deep fryers that feature the heat source in the oil. Your oil heats from the inside out. If your family loves a fish fry, Cajun Fryer is a must. Because the heat source is suspended in the oil, small crumbs and pieces that burn fall to the bottom. So your oil stays much cleaner, many times lasting the entire year. Often imitated, never duplicated. Don't be fooled. Take a look at the original Cajun Fryer at CajunFryer.com. Fresh, crisp, delicious every time. CajunFryer.com.
We thank God for the freedom, our men and women that defend it, and the Constitution that guarantees it. Welcome to Camp with Kender Outdoors and the Dallas Safari Club.
Today, while you are enjoying time on the boat or maybe shoot a round of sporting clays, DSC will stand before your elected officials and remind them just how important your rights to hunt, fish, and shoot are. Even if you're not a member of DSC, we fight for you every day. BigGame.org.
Hey, welcome back to our campfire here at DSC's Kinder Outdoors. I'm Billy Kinder. You're a welcome guest. Come back next week and bring a buddy with you, okay? Hey, a lot of my friends, and I bet yours too, I met through the outdoors. Hunting, fishing, the pistol range, rifle range, a clay shoot, a convention, a benefit, all outdoors related. Here's one of those people that I met through the outdoors, and boy, we've become fast friends over the past dozen years or so. It's Mr. Whitetail, Larry Wysoon. Larry, I'm proud to call you a friend.
I feel the very same way about you, sir.
You know, and we met through the outdoors, and when I look at my life and count my blessings, there's a lot of folks in my life that I met through hunting, fishing, or hunting and fishing outdoor-related activities. And you're one of those folks. I bet you're the same way. When you look around your circle of friends, they all came from a hunting or fishing background, outdoor background.
As you were saying that, I was trying to remember of any one of them that didn't come from that way. And I'm actually outside of a couple of people that I've met over the years that I probably had an argument with initially about hunting and the outdoors that we became friends. But again, because of that, I mean, I was able to convert those folks, or at least they had an open mind where they would listen to me. But you're right. I mean, my closest friends, my closest family friends, if you will, that too, all developed because of the time that we spent together outdoors, either hunting and our fishing.
Yeah. Jim Zumbo is a good example. I don't know how many decades ago you and Jim met, but to this day, that campfire forged friendship still exists.
It really does. Jim and I became friends. Jim was one of my heroes. I kiddingly call him my dad every once in a while we get together. There's not that much difference between our age. But Jim's one of those very special people who, for so many reasons, loves the outdoors. And you're right. I mean, I so much value the time that I get to spend with him. And when we part company, I think we kind of feel the same way. We can't wait to get back together again. And during the time frame when we can't do that, we spend a little bit of time on the phone telling stories or emailing back and forth and really kind of keeping close tabs on one another.
Yeah. Can you remember a good, and he's not here to defend himself today, so take liberties if you'd like, but a good Zumbo story from a trip on the road, together hunting, fishing somewhere? I know you've done some Wounded Warrior stuff together as well.
You know, he and I had shared a mutual friend, Rick Lambert, Miranda Lambert's dad.
Yeah.
And it had indirectly involved with hunting and fishing, but we were supposed to meet Zumbo downtown in the little town where Rick lives. And Rick and I are standing on the corner, and Jim can navigate anywhere on a lake, anywhere through the woods. You put him behind the wheel and get him on a highway, and he is lost from the word go. So Rick and I are standing on the corner trying to flag him down as he's driving, and he drove back and forth past us about five different times before Rick and I both walked out into the middle of the street where he either had to stop or run over us and realized that this was the place that he was supposed to be. Beyond that, one of the other times, one of the things I'd really get tickled with him about, he loves turkey hunting. We were down in deep South Texas hunting turkeys, and he tried to cross between two barbed wire fences, and had it not been for Rick and I being there to help him halfway undressed where he got hung up on the barbed wire, he'd probably still be hanging right there.
You know, I think at least 50% of my blue jeans hanging in my... Well, you know, you've got them too, have got that barbed wire cut right down there between the legs where you tried to swing that leg through and that wire got to you a little bit. Let's talk about Jim's efforts now. We've laughed at him a little. Let's talk about his efforts for our military personnel. My goodness, it goes way back, and you see it. It's common now that outdoor folks will take our military hunting and fishing. Not when Jim started. He was first.
You're exactly right. I mean, it goes back, 20-plus years ago. Jim has always had great respect for those folks that serve in the military, both those who may have been wounded or as a result of their military service or just the fact that they served our country. And he started doing this, like I said, 20-plus years ago. He's worked with lots of different organizations over the years to promote getting our troops who, once they return home, into the outdoors. And I think he early on realized how important that outdoor connection is to the wellness of a person, if you will, particularly somebody that's been put through a tremendous amount of stress, maybe through battle fatigue or having to do what our soldiers do for us to protect our way of life. And so, as you said, Jim was one of the first ones to do that, and he continues to do that now. And that's, oh my gosh, it's probably been almost 30 years since he started that.
Yeah, and I loved the way he did that on his old television shows. He totally removed himself and served others. He did not make that show about himself or his hunting activities at all. The focus was completely on those warriors and what heroes they were. He, like he's done in so many different areas in the outdoor world, he set a very good example for the rest of us right off the bat.
I'll tell you what, he created some shoes that are going to be really hard to follow.
He did. Jim Zumbo, he's a good one. Now, that's about all we're going to blow Zumbo's head up today. Solid and long-lasting friendships that wouldn't have happened at all if it weren't for the outdoors. This corner of the Camp House is brought to you by Fortiflora, America's canine probiotic. Number one, say our veterinarians, if you own a bird dog, a house dog, an old dog, a young dog, an active dog, a couch potato, doesn't matter. They all suffer from GI upset from time to time. And Fortiflora fixes that. Keep it in the fridge. Keep it handy. Fortiflora. Learn more at kinderoutdoors.com. Another guy that I've met years ago through hunting is my buddy Pete Delkus. He's a TV weather guy in Dallas-Fort Worth. But he's also an avid bird dog man and turkey hunter. Pete and I had a conversation some years back about friends hunting together, traveling together, and remaining friends throughout that ordeal. Sometimes you have to work at it. Well, chances are when you head out hunting this weekend, fishing this summer, wherever you go this fall, you're not going to do it alone. More than likely, you're going to be traveling with friends of like interest. Now, hunting is one thing, Pete. Traveling with these guys is another. Some of them snore. Problems can arise. What have you seen in traveling with your hunting friends?
Well, Bill, I haven't seen it all, but I've seen enough. And the three of the things that I have seen that it's extremely frustrating. I went on a trip with a guy to South Dakota, and I'm not kidding. I'm not making this up. He didn't have any money once we got there. All he had was an American Express card. We're in the middle of nowhere, South Dakota. Who takes American Express? I went on a trip with another guy to North Dakota, and he was scared of the dark. I didn't know that. I went on a trip with another guy that didn't believe in maintaining his vehicle prior to a 5,000-mile trip. So maybe I'm not the smart guy in this group, but I've seen enough to know that you have to be very, very careful when you choose the people that you're going to travel with. I mean, think of this. How many times a year do you go out of town? Let's say you're going to Montana. How many times a year are you going to go to Montana? Once? Maybe twice? You're going to take a week of your precious vacation. Are you going to screw it away by going with somebody that's inconsiderate, somebody that's shrewd, somebody that just doesn't, maybe they're just self-centered. I mean, you have to plan very carefully who you're going to travel with. You need to know this person. You need to know what you're going to get into. And you don't want to see this person through rose-colored glasses. You have to be very sure. And don't be afraid to say, no, I'm not going to go with you. Or just avoid that topic with him and pick somebody else. The point is, you need to be very, very careful about who you're going to travel with.
You know, I can recall a situation just a few years back where I went hunting with a couple of buddies of mine. I had my own hotel room, and these other two guys were sharing a room. It was 16 degrees when I got up the next morning at 4:30 to get my day started, and I happened to notice that one of them was sleeping in the back seat of the truck at 16 degrees because the other guy snored so loud the lampshade was stuck to his nose. The guy couldn't take it, so he chose to sleep in 16-degree weather. That's not an enjoyable hunting trip. Pick who you're going with. You can't pick your family. You can pick your hunting companions.
Hey, everybody. It's professional bass angler Gerald Swindle from Hayden, Alabama. When I'm not in the great outdoors, I'm sure thinking about it or I'm using the bathroom. With Billy Kinder, Outdoors.
Well, not the using the bathroom part.
Well, sometimes outdoors, that's the place to be.
You might hunt the south pasture, or maybe the double tanks. You've watched that big 10-point for 4 years now. Maybe he'll show up. Or maybe it's a doe you'll hang in the cooler tonight. We're almost out of sausage links and taco meat. Maybe a pig will come by today. Among all the maybes, there is an absolute. Take your wild game to Cinnamon Creek Wild Game Processing. The Masacchio family and their decades of family recipes will have your guests at a whitetail dinner complimenting you on the beef.
Because the way we season them, and then we cry vac them, vacuum seal them, and then let them sit, and then we put them in the freezer. So the spices get to work on the meat for a little bit. If you'll cook them just like a regular filet, you know, like medium rare or rare, it's perfect. I mean, you can't tell the difference.
Cinnamon Creek Wild Game Processing. CinnamonCreekRanch.com. Imagine a change in Hollywood's message. Imagine a big screen version of your life, telling your story as a God-fearing, red-blooded hunter. Manifesting your God-given right and skill to gather groceries in the woods and pray over them on the dinner table. Lots of folks seem to think this film is a great idea.
This is Michael Waddell.
I'm Toxie Hayes.
Hey, this is your blood brother, Ted Nugent.
And want to partner with you to build the first ever hunter-funded, God-glorifying movie centered around our hope, our heritage, our harvest. What this world needs is a hunter. You make this world a better place. Come on. TheHarvestMovie.com.
Now, more than maybe ever, we could all use a little getaway. And the Vineyards Campground and Cabins in Grapevine, Texas is the perfect spot. We are open for business and with well-thought-out precautions to help keep our guests safe. Bring the RV and enjoy our full-service hookups complete with cable TV, ramped-up Wi-Fi, and space to spread around while enjoying a great view of Grapevine Lake. We can comfortably accommodate any size RV or motorhome with plenty of pull-through sites. The Vineyards also features spacious lakefront cabins, fully equipped with all that you and your family will need to enjoy comfort camping. Our campground store is well-stocked with everything from groceries and ice to firewood and fishing supplies. Don't forget to bring the boat! The Vineyards Campground and Cabins features a private boat ramp with plenty of parking, a private beach, kayak, bicycle and paddleboard rentals, and even a full-service laundry on-site. Come to the Vineyards! We're right in the middle of Dallas-Fort Worth, but you'll feel millions of miles away. VineyardsCampground.com.
From the deck of your private cabin overlooking the confluence of the famous White and Norfolk Rivers at Norfolk Resort Trout Dock, you can see crystal clear running waters that hold one of the world's greatest populations of rainbow and brown trout. In fact, this is the home of world record trout. You might be distracted, though, by the beautiful rolling Ozark Mountains that hold you during your stay. Just up the road a few miles is incredible bass fishing for largemouth, smallmouth, and spots. You'll find the best guides in the business at Norfolk Resort, and your boat is just a short walk from your cabin. Your guide will find a gravel shoal perfect for preparing a hot shore lunch with fresh caught trout and all the trimmings. You'll think about a nap after lunch, but there's more fish to catch and river to explore before retiring to your fully furnished riverside hideaway. Sound good? Of course it does. Norfolk Resort Trout Dock in Norfolk, Arkansas. NorfolkResort.com.
It is the dream of the animal rights fanatics to suppress your most natural connection to the earth, to sell you a life filled with urban fascinations, to ignore that death is life's unwavering partner, together creating a relationship between predator and prey that makes it possible for us all to survive. To the hunter, this world's most honest steward, these fantasies are the poisonous, perverted manipulations of social misfits who would take this planet hostage. They should startle you and awaken you to trust the hunter in your blood.
In God we trust. That fishing story you just told? Not so much. Come on, it's Camp House time at Kinder Outdoors with the Dallas Safari Club.
The dedication of DSC members is seen when a teen and his mom shoot targets together for the first time, when a poacher takes aim but handcuffs block his shot, and when a senator or congressman vote yes to preserve your Second Amendment. That's the DSC at work. We don't tire, and we don't quit. BigGame.org.
Get your family outside. Enjoy all the benefits of having a ranch without having to mend the fence or cook the meals. Look into the affordable corporate, family, and sporting or social memberships at Joshua Creek Ranch in the Texas Hill Country. Learn more at KinderOutdoors.com. We're so fortunate here at DSC's Kinder Outdoors to have a stable full of top-notch outdoor professionals. And boy, that includes some of the best dog trainers on the planet, like Ronnie Smith up in Oklahoma, Bob West in Iowa, Tom Dockin in Minnesota, and right here in Texas, my friend Carl Gunzer, who has trained up a couple of national champions. Hey, Carl, welcome back to the show. I always enjoy my visits with you.
Hey, Billy, how are you?
I'm good. You know, we're moving on into springtime and a lot of field trials in progress all across the country. You know all about that great feeling of a partnership with a dog that you've worked with, and then you go out and compete and have some success. That's very rewarding.
Yeah, life-changing for a lot of people. I think me and a bunch of others included find yourself doing something you never envisioned you'd do for a living because of a dog, you know, so it can be life-changing.
Boy, you fall in love with our four-legged friends even deeper when they go pour their heart out for you on a field trial ground. So if you have a bird dog and bird season closes up, hey, there's nowhere left to go, you need to think about maybe running in some field trials, if for no other reason than to spend time with your dogs in the field. Carl, I want to talk to you a little bit about optimum feed. You are a bird dog guy. You won a couple of national championships. Bird dogs have been a big part of your life a long, long time, and that led to a career with our friends at Purina Pro Plan. And every field trialer, trainer, everyone who knows anything about their dogs knows you're not going to get a better fuel than Pro Plan. Pro Plan Performance, 30% protein, 20% fat. Most of us feed it in the wintertime. That makes sense. It's a hot fuel, and we burn a lot of energy in the wintertime, but it's recommended by your scientists there to feed it year-round, even in the hot summer.
That's right, Billy. The biggest thing that changes for a dog is sort of the caloric needs when it's running, when it's performing, how hard it's working. But that doesn't really change its system. You know, it still does it. It's very efficient at burning fat. It utilizes protein. And while, you know, in the summer, if you're not training or competing, you might not need to feed as much food. There's really no advantage to changing foods to something with less protein and fat. I know a lot of times people will do it. They think their dog is going to get, you know, the quote, the word you hear is hot by feeding a higher protein and fat food. But honestly, they do a better job metabolizing and burning fat than they do carbohydrates or anything else. And so really, we recommend just decreasing the amount you feed. Feed the same food year-round. The dog system never has to adjust to a different protein and fat level. You know, you can save a little bit of money by feeding less dog food.
You know, I heard a scientist talk a few years ago about feeding ProPlan year-round as opposed to a fuel that's not so, quote, hot in the summertime. And he explained that really by the time your dog makes the adjustments needed to take on a new feed, a new formula, it's then time to move them back into your fall feeding pattern, your active pattern of ProPlan performance again. So it's not like our dogs can just adjust overnight.
Exactly. You know, Billy, tomorrow if you say, hey, I'm going to start on a keto diet and you eat meat for one day, you know, your body is not in ketosis yet, right? You're not your system hasn't adapted to burning that food properly. It takes you weeks or months before, you know, your body is adapted to that diet. So it's sort of the same with these dogs, right? If they start, if tomorrow you say, hey, I'm going to go hunting, so I'm going to feed him a higher protein and fat diet, he's not going to optimally digest that food the next day. It's going to be, you know, 6 to 8 weeks before their body is really utilizing that diet to the best of their ability. So there's really no reason to switch foods. And like you say, if you do, you should switch back to your performance food about 2 months before the competition starts.
Yeah.
So, you know, might as well just keep them on the same diet. I guess the only thing I would say, if somebody really feels strongly, they have a dog that is a super easy keeper, and you feel like, gosh, in the summer, you know, I can't hardly feed this dog more than, you know, 2 cups of food, and she acts like she's starving. She's not satisfied with this small portion. You know, you could switch to a little less nutrient-dense food. But again, you'd want to switch back, you know, 2 months prior to really beginning training. And hopefully most people don't let their dogs just lay around in the summertime, or I should maybe say the off-season, right? You keep them working some, you know, maybe not as rigorous. Their bodies obviously need some time to settle down and relax and kind of heal from the hunting season or field trial season or whatever it might be. But, you know, if you can do it and keep them on the same food, you might as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, another big deal for people that have multiple dogs and kennel their dogs on concrete is that stool. You've been to kennels before. I know I have many times where someone tries to cut corners and maybe save money by feeding a lesser fuel, a lesser feed to their dogs. And it can actually stain the concrete. It makes a bigger mess in the kennel. And that's something that I just don't like, because that reflects on my dog's intestines and internal well-being. When I see the floor looking that way, I'm thinking, this can't be real good for my dogs. ProPlan, I guess because of the quality ingredients, never leaves a stain or a mess in the kennel. Have you noticed that?
You know, I think one of the big benefits of ProPlan is the high digestibility and the small stools. I think, you know, the dogs utilize those nutrients well. And that's, you know, we always talk about ingredients, but really the key thing is nutrients and what's in that food. And, you know, ProPlan doesn't have any artificial colors or flavors or anything. Everything's natural. So I think that high digestibility makes for a great small stool that's easily picked up in the yard or wherever.
Hey, I talk about it all the time. Purina ProPlan Performance Formula is all my dogs have known from mother's milk to the end of their careers. for many, many years now since Pro Plan became Pro Plan. And boy, you can find it just about everywhere. Atwood's Ranch and Home Stores has it, but anywhere you're traveling in the United States, you're readily going to find Purina Pro Plan performance formula, right?
That's it. You know, sport, and then there's a 30-20 formula. There's a couple different varieties, either a chicken or salmon or beef, and then you know, there's some other sport formulas that are maybe a little less protein and fat, a 27% protein, 17% fat for maybe some easy keepers, but sport is definitely the product that the vast majority of competitors and field trialers feed their dogs.
Hey, Carl, always a pleasure talking to you, and really appreciate the insight. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Billy. Call anytime.
Do something special with your family this Easter. Take them to Joshua Creek Ranch and enjoy that great lunch, and then maybe a bird hunt afterwards, huh? They've put together an awesome menu for Easter Sunday, April 4th, and they'd love to have you. Learn more at kinderoutdoors.com.
This is professional turkey hunter Ray I. And when I'm not in the great outdoors, I'm thinking about it with Big Billy Kinder Outdoors.
These are unsettling and even scary times for many people. But for others, there's peace, even as an angry world cries out. The source of that peace is Jesus Christ. I'm John Watson, pastor at Cornerstone Bible Church in Roanoke, Texas. At Cornerstone, we teach the Bible with no man-made religion added in. Join us online Sunday mornings at 10:15 Central at csbiblechurch.org. It's just God's Word, csbiblechurch.org.
Whether you're new to firearms or an experienced, skilled shooter, the knowledgeable, friendly staff at Marksman Firearms and Outfitters is there to help. Marksman Firearms features an extensive selection of firearms, accessories, and specialty items. Military and first responders get a 10% discount, and they offer a 90-day layaway, same as cash. Buy, sell, or trade at any of their Texas stores, Granbury, Killeen, Mansfield, and Wichita Falls. For more info, visit MarksmanFirearms.com. Make your mark at Marksman.
Crappie anglers, tired of tying knots? Hey, Wally Marshall, Mr. Crappie here to tell you about the all-new Add-A-Hook by Bullet Weights. The Add-A-Hook is designed to put a hook on your line without using any knots or cutting your line. Hold the Add-A-Hook next to your fishing line, then wrap the line five times around each side. Pull your line into the clips, and bam, you're ready to go, and it will not slip. I can tie a double crappie rig in 30 seconds when it takes up to 6 minutes to tie one with all the knots. Add-A-Hook is made of stainless steel, no rust, flexible, and tough. Mr. Crappie and Bullet Weights has made it better, faster, and easier for crappie fishermen to get back in the water catching more crappie than ever. Bullet Weights has a full line of Mr. Crappie double mantle rigs for trolling and vertical fishing. The Mr. Crappie Troll Check rigs are designed to troll in shallow waters and heavy cover, keeping two baits close together without hanging up. Also, don't forget Mr. Crappie Slow Troll and Double Drop Crappie Rigs. Pre-tied with number two hooks, double swivel weights, and 8-pound line. Tie one on today. Look us up at bulletweights.com.
Hey, I want to let you know about something that's brand new and coming to South Dakota this fall. The Dead Rabbit Lodge. You see, the owner received his higher learning from the University of South Dakota, the Coyotes. The dreaded enemy of the University of South Dakota Coyotes is the South Dakota State University Jackrabbits. Therefore, the name, the Dead Rabbit. The Dead Rabbit Lodge sits on the eastern bluffs of Big Blue Lake Oahe. The view from your giant Western Canada Red Cedar Lodging stretches from the dam to the south almost all the way up to North Dakota. The Big Lodge is finest splendor from top to bottom. Perfect for big family or corporate groups. But the Dead Rabbit will also feature separate hotel-style rooms, a great game room and bar for entertaining, guest-only dining featuring the Rabbit's award-winning chef. Oh, and about 40,000 acres of the finest pheasant hunting in the world. You won't forget the Dead Rabbit.
At the Outdoors Tomorrow Foundation, we're really happy to have more than 50,000 kids in school classrooms learning about archery, fishing, boating, and other outdoor skills each year. We're thrilled that we have grown to schools across the United States and continue to grow. We're humbled that teaching wildlife conservation to our future generations have been so eagerly accepted by more than 250,000 kids so far. We're happy, thrilled, and humbled But we're not stopping. The Outdoor Adventures program in junior highs and high schools across America has proven to be a hit with kids. And in case after case, we've seen Outdoor Adventures' young lives changed. Kids that just were not into school and not involved are now excited to get into the classroom each day because of Outdoor Adventures. The kids earn classroom credit by learning the outdoor basics, and they smile while learning. If you want Outdoor Adventures in your local school, contact me, Scott McClure. I'm at gootf.com. That's Scott at gootf.com.
The coffee's always on, and the conservation is always good. Make sure you bring a youngin' or two. Together, let's teach them what heritage and tradition looks like. This is the Big Billy Kender Outdoors Camp House, partners with the Dallas Safari Club.
Watch the DSC at work with DSC's Tracks Across Africa on the Outdoor Channel. Yes, we work hard at DSC, but we also like to go hunting from time to time. Join us on the journey. BigGame.org.
This is DSC's Kender Outdoors, and I'm so glad that you're a part of it today. Thank you for hanging out with us. This corner of the camp house is brought to you by my friends at Joshua Creek Ranch. I love to bird hunt there. I love to eat there. I love to sleep there. It's five-star everything. And I think my favorite thing to do there is to hunt the axis deer. That's my favorite protein. And they have a wild herd on this low-fence ranch where you could shoot a Boone and Crockett animal. But even if you go for a doe hunt, you're going to put some of the best-tasting venison in the world on the table for your family. Check it out. Axis deer. You can hunt them year-round in Texas at Joshua Creek Ranch. KenderOutdoors.com for more info. Hey, I mentioned our top-notch pro staff earlier. Well, hey, we've got the very best in the bass business as well. Hall of Famer Gary Klein, and this guy, Kelly Jordan, he's known for catching giant bass, and he's the perfect guy to talk to during the spawn. Welcome back, man. How you doing, KJ?
Oh, just living the dream, man, watching it, liking this warmer weather.
Yeah, you know what? The turkeys are gobbling, and the fish are, you know, trying to crawl up on the bank, and the trees are budding out. It's a good time of year.
Beautiful. It's my favorite time of year.
Okay, good, good, because that's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about springtime with you a little bit. And by the way, if you're ever fishing with my friend Kelly Jordan and the boat conks out on you, just pour his coffee out in the lake, because you can walk on it back to shore. he is the strongest coffee drinker I've ever been around. And what is your theory behind that, KJ? You know, half a can in every pot you make.
Well, you know, hey, if you're going to drink coffee, you might as well drink coffee and not caramel colored water. I mean, geez. I mean, it's like, it's the full meal deal.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and I can drink one or two cups and give it, everybody else gets in a whole pot. It's fantastic. I don't have time to drink a whole pot.
You know what? I was fortunate. I fell into the Kelly Jordan coffee line of thinking while on a pheasant hunt with him in South Dakota. And if you'll remember, it was icy, yeah. Muddy, sloppy, mm-hmm. Cold. It was coffee weather, brother. And and you had it going on.
Yep. And that's just, hey, man, if your stirrer doesn't stand straight up, it's not strong enough.
There you go. Hey, let's talk about fishing a little bit. I really want to talk post-spawn, but we have to address the spawn a little bit because you know, they are up more shallow. It's a great opportunity to get the kids excited walking along the bank because they might actually see a big old fish swimming around up in there and might even catch one, KJ.
Yeah, this is the best time of year for to catch a big one because there's more big fish in shallow water than any other time of year, and that's why people like to fish in the spring. Kind of like deer hunting in the rut, man. When the bass are coming on the bed, they're all coming shallow, those big fish that maybe live out in the middle of the lake in 30 feet of water all year, they're going to come into the shorelines, and you have the most amount of fish in accessible parts of the water of the lake to fish for people, how they like to, you know, cast visible targets, shoreline brush, stuff they can see, stumps in the water, as well as fishing off the shoreline and, you know, around lakes or ponds or what have you. It's just, hey, this is when it goes down.
You bet it is. Not only are you know, you don't have to have a boat out in 20 to 30 feet of water. You know, you can fish from the bank, you can fish from the dock, you can fish from that boat and catch the fish of a lifetime right now. Lots of brand new fishermen, Kelly, and they really don't need to invest a ton of money and buy a ton of stuff to get started. They just want to walk the bank and pick up a couple of lures that might work and a rod and reel. What do they need to go grab?
Well, the, you know, easiest probably in around this springtime, spawn time is, you know, heck, it's just a wacky worm. And a wacky worm is the simplest way to fish. It's a cinco. Everyone's probably heard of a cinco. A cinco is another, was born of the wacky worm style of fishing, but I'll go into that real quick. But basically a wacky worm, they'll get you a 6-inch trick worm. Manufacturer doesn't matter. Zoom makes a good one. Lake Fork Tackle makes it. There's all kind of them out there. Typically in your more green patterns, you know, you're trying to look more like a brim or a worm or something like that. That's green pumpkins, watermelons, watermelon red flake, maybe a little bit of orange in a few of them, maybe a chartreuse tip tail on them because a lot of them have a chartreuse tail. You know, so that's just a good color scheme. And a wacky worm, you just get you about probably a 1-aught or a 2-aught little smaller straight shank hook. And you hook that worm right in the X-hack, which is almost a little bit off-center, but it's still kind of in the middle of the worm. And you don't put any weight on it, and you just throw it out there. And you leave it on slack line, let it sink, or maybe give it a 5 to 10 count. If it's deeper, 10 count. If it's 1 or 2 feet, 3 feet of water, maybe a 5 count, and then you pick up and see if it's on there. Watch your line because they'll grab it and be moving off. If you feel it tight, just start reeling and maybe get a little small hook set. You don't have to set the hook real hard with that exposed hook. And work it after about the 5 count, pull it up and maybe give it a couple wiggles, and you're pulling that wacky worm back up to the surface and let it fall probably another 5 or 10 count and maybe do that one more time. I usually don't do it more than 3 times and then repeat a cast again. It's almost in your fishing targets. They do make weedless hooks that have little weed guards on them that makes it a little bit more weedless. It does snag up a lot, but if you get hung up and break off, you're just losing a hook and a little plastic worm. It's about the deadly springtime, spawn time bait that there is. A cinco, which is a stick worm, 5 inches is the standard size. You can also rig that wacky style, which is hooked right in the center. It makes a nice, it falls perfect, and it a cinco is deadly because it has so much salt in it, it's heavy. It actually wiggles when it falls on slack line, which is one of the reasons a cinco is the best ever on a stick worm. And or you can rig it wacky style, or you can rig it Texas rig. And I like to throw that one Texas rig a lot with a 3 to 5-aught hook and heavier line, you know, 12, 14, 15, 17, or even 20-pound line if you're in heavy cover and big fish are around. And you rig that Texas style, which means, you know, hook your hook in there and put the point of the hook back into the bait so it's pretty weedless. You can pull it through grass and cover pretty well. And fish it the exact same way as you would a wacky worm. Throw it out there, target cast it, light spots, dark spots, next to a stump, underneath a dock, underneath the shade of a tree, back in a little pocket, maybe where you see a little deeper, little, you know, gets anything, and throw it out there, again, on slack line, let it sink, you know, 5 to maybe a 10 count, and then pick up, see if it's heavy. If it's heavy, a fish has got it, and kind of get tight, and if it's moving, set the hook at the fish. If not, pull it back up to the surface, you know, maybe give it a couple little pops, and you're just moving that bait towards you maybe 2 or 3 feet, and you're also moving it up to the close to the surface of the water again. Throw slack back at it again and let it sink, do its little deal. It'll wiggle all the way down to the bottom on slack line again, and do that 2 to 3 times. You can do it all the way back to you when you're fishing and catch them that way, but typically a lot of your bites will happen on the initial fall or the second or the third. And like I said, nothing wrong with working all the way back to you, but I typically pick it up and make another cast after 2 or 3 sessions of that, pulling it up and letting it fall again. And that is, in a nutshell, probably the easiest way to catch bass this time.
Yeah, there you go. And you're not going to spend much money at Bass Pro Shop or even Walmart,
nope.
Wherever you go.
Need a hook, some hooks, a couple packs of worms, and you are in business.
Yep, you're good to go with the same thing that, Kelly Jordan and the pros use. Now, a more difficult time of year for me, and it's a mental block, KJ. It always has been. is the post-spawn action between the spring spawn and when they're really set up good in the summer. And we're going to take a quick break. If you can hang with me, I want to come back and talk post-spawn a little bit.
Fishing the spawn and post-spawn with Major League Fishing's Kelly Jordan on the show today. If you missed any of it, check out the podcast, KinderOutdoors.com.
That view from the porch is pretty awesome this time of year. Let's sit and visit a while at Kinder Outdoors with the Dallas Safari Club.
Is it important to you to have your voice heard on important conservation matters? Do you look at the anti-hunting, anti-gun ownership people on the news and get frustrated? Why don't you consider joining forces with one of the most powerful, true conservation and pro-shooting sports-minded groups anywhere? DSC welcomes you at Big Game.
Second big hour of DSC's Kinder Outdoors, straight ahead. Thanks for hanging around with us. This corner of the camp house brought to you by that great Purina Pro Plan that Carl Gunzer was talking about a little bit earlier. There is a Pro Plan formula for every dog and every lifestyle, from mother's milk to old age. Pro Plan provides the perfect fuel for your dog. Learn more about Purina Pro Plan at KinderOutdoors.com and pick up a bag at Atwood's Ranch and Home Stores. Hey, here's a tremendous opportunity for you to get a bargain online today because this auction ends at 3 this afternoon, 3 p.m. Eastern Time. I'm talking about the Dallas Safari Club Northeast Chapter Virtual Auction. You can bid right now. How about a 5-day New Mexico Hunter's Choice Elk, Mule Deer, Coos Deer, or Aladad? Your choice. Bidding is now open. Argentina is there. Africa is there. Guns. All kinds of cool stuff. And I've got the link at KinderOutdoors.com. A few weeks ago, we were talking about that big amateur bass tournament, the biggest in history, that Johnny Morris has put together. Well, stage one is in the books. It was last weekend on Okeechobee. U.S. Open Regional number one. The first place team collected $50,000 and, along with the top 40 teams in these qualifying tournaments, will advance to the national championship on Missouri's Table Rock Lake this fall. Congratulations, Cale Stevens, Okeechobee, Florida, and Bradley McQueen, West Palm Beach, Florida. They're fishing buddies. They're both 22 years old, and they're the winners of stage one in this first of its kind amateur fishing tournament offering the biggest payout in freshwater fishing history. That national championship will be broadcast internationally on NBC and carries a $1 million cash prize for the winning team. The next qualifier is coming up April 17th, Lake Ray Roberts, Texas. Same lake that'll host the Bassmaster Classic this June. Last hour, Major League Fishing pro Kelly Jordan was talking to us about fishing the spawn. Coming up later this hour, he's going to rejoin us, and we're going to visit about post-spawn techniques, baits, etc. Don't miss it. But if you do, you can go back and hear it all again anytime when you click on that podcast for today, this weekend's podcast, at KinderOutdoors.com. Boy, the 13-pounders are rolling in like never before in Texas. It's historic. And O.H. Ivy is the front runner. Three more week before last. Running the total up to 9 for O.H. Ivy. Lake Fork also got on the board for the first time this year. And Coleman City Lake, first time ever, it's spit out a 13-pounder. The 2021 season now stands at 17. With the season running through this coming Wednesday. Stan Tenska lives in Yantas, Texas. Yantas, Texas is on the shoreline, basically, of Lake Fork. He's been fishing Fork for about 6 years. Loves to fish at night, and that's how he caught his 13.06-pound largemouth bass. Travis Gill, Amarillo, Texas, put the 7th O.H. Ivy Sharelunker in the books, 14.4. Jason Gaston, San Angelo, Texas, caught the first of two in the same day, Sunday, 2 weeks ago, at O.H. Ivy, 13.76. Later that same day, Jim Smith, Weatherford, Texas, 14.42. 3 in 1 weekend at O.H. Ivy. It just keeps on keeping on. And another one caught on that same Sunday, but not at O.H. Ivy, but from a new spot. It was C.R. Stevenson III of Clyde, Texas, that caught that 14.83 out of Coleman City Lake. Next week, we're going to do our best to have the folks with the Texas Sharelunker program on here to tell us why the explosion, what's going on. A game warden buddy of mine says he thinks it's LiveScope, the new technology that basically allows you to see underwater and what you're casting to a whole lot better than we ever have before. My friend Kelly Jordan says he thinks it's due to that massive cold front we had. It killed a lot of shad, and these bass just sat there and put on the weight as these shad fell to the bottom. I don't know. We'll talk to the biologists about it next week. Purina Pro Plan Performance Formula, that's what 89% of the field trial champions across North America are fed. That's what about the last 12 in a row Westminster Grand Champion show dogs are fed. Whether it's a show dog, a working dog, a trial dog, a hunting dog, or a lap dog, there's no better fuel than Purina Pro Plan, and it's at Atwood's Ranch and Home Stores, Oklahoma, Arkansas, Texas, Kansas, and Missouri. Hey, you know that Bassmaster Elite that was scheduled for this spring on the Sabine River, Texas, but then got moved to the fall? Well, it's scheduled for the spring again, April 8th through 11th, after Texas Governor Greg Abbott rescinded mandates that would have dramatically reduced the number of fans permitted on site. It's back on, and y'all come.
Hey, everybody, it's Colorado Buck. And when I'm not in the great outdoors, I'm thinking about it with Kinder Outdoors. Hey, Billy, where in the world did he go?
Like everyone, the conservation world has been down a rough road lately. The money generated through science-based and properly regulated hunting, both here in the U.S. and abroad, is the key pillar of support for wildlife and wild places. I'm Corey Mason, Executive Director at Dallas Safari Club. Poaching, drought, antis that would put a stop to hunting and the shooting sports, right and proper education of the next generations of outdoorsmen and women, these things don't stop because of a pandemic, and at DSC, neither do we. Many hundreds of mission-minded volunteers work without glory or headlines year-round for the DSC mission. That mission is clear-cut. True conservation work worldwide, sharing our beloved and precious heritage with all that will hear and take part, and defeating those that would rip up your Second Amendment and rights to hunt and fish. I invite you to come and join us. It all starts at biggame.org.
Buffalo wool, hats, socks, and gloves will keep you warm and comfortable on even the most uncomfortable days. It's called buffalo wool because the very special fibers used in buffalo wool products are harvested from beneath the big shaggy guard hairs on the bison. These special fibers are how the buffalo manages a Wyoming blizzard or a North Dakota ice storm with no trouble at all. Ron Miskin owns the Buffalo Wool Company and loves the customer feedback.
Well, I was really surprised when I got pictures back. He went and did a 330-mile snowmobile trek up in Alaska, negative 30, chasing muskox. He said second day he quit wearing his choppers, just wearing our gloves and hat.
The buffalo fiber you make your products from, actually warmer than wool.
Oh, yeah, much warmer than wool, a lot more durable. These are meant to be used and used hard. We warranty them for life. You wear them out, we'll replace them.
The BuffaloWoolCo.com. You know, as bird hunters and bird dog owners, we've seen our wild bird hunting opportunities dwindle in recent years. And if you, like me, don't want to kennel your bird dog in the spring just to let him hibernate till fall, then you should take a long look at the world's largest field trial organization, the National Shoot to Retrieve Association, or Nestra. This was the very idea of Nestra's founding fathers back in the 1960s. They wanted to extend time in the field with the dogs that they loved. And it must have been a pretty good idea, because over the years, many thousands of men, women, teens, and families have enjoyed participating in Nestra field trials. All pointing breeds are welcome, and there's no need to be intimidated. Nestra sponsors over 1,000 field trials across the U.S. and Canada each year. It's at these trials where your dog can earn his Nestra championship, qualify for entry into your regional championship, and Nestra's 5 national championships. Take a look at our website, nstra.org, and consider visiting a local trial. We look forward to meeting you. After spending a few days at Joshua Creek Ranch, I describe it as a sportsman's nirvana.
We love creating a unique experience for each of our guests. You know, the interests can vary here from wing shooting to deer hunting to fly fishing to river kayaking. So we have a great variety of guests, and we like for them to enjoy everything we have to offer.
As I enjoyed the birth of a new day over the rolling hill country ranch that is Joshua Creek, I was amazed at the wildlife, quail, pheasants, native white-tailed deer, trophy class axis deer.
We've worked hard on the habitat, planted improved grasses, really with the help of some wildlife biologists, studied what would make the best habitat to keep our game here.
Mm-hmm. We can hunt easily 6, 7, 8 groups, and we don't try to do it on 40 acres. I mean, these people get to walk. They get to see some country.
Joe and Ann Kirchival invite you to enjoy this free-range ranch just northwest of San Antonio. Visit Joshua Creek.
We the people, and our right to bear arms and our right to free speech gather here. This is Kender Outdoors, partners with the Dallas Safari Club.
There is a part of our American history that is so precious. We stand guard over it day and night. It's the right to enjoy the heritage of hunting, fishing, camping, safari, and the shooting sports. Come stand guard with us at DSC, biggame.org.
Hey, welcome back to our campfire here at DSC's Kender Outdoors. Really glad you're here. Thank you. Planning that long road trip this summer, taking Fido with you? Wonder where that name came from, Fido. Kind of a generic name for a dog, Fido. Hey, for that long road trip, make sure you stock up on the Purina Pro Plan, the formula that's perfect for your Fido. It's at Atwood's Ranch and Home Stores. They even have formulas for dogs with an itchy coat or an intolerance to grain. There's a formula specifically built for your dog from Purina Pro Plan. And it's at Atwood's. Well, hey, it's springtime. A lot of us have fishing on our minds. And what bass fisherman has never dreamed of fishing in the Bassmasters Classic? It is classic in the truest sense of the word. The greatest names in bass fishing have had their names engraved on that trophy. 4 years ago, a young college champion, one of the youngest guys on the Bassmaster Elite Tour, won the 2017 Bassmaster Classic on Lake Conroe. He was still pretty excited a few days later when we had a chance to visit with him. It's a Kender Outdoors flashback to Jordan Lee after he won the first of 2 consecutive Bassmaster Classics. By the way, one of only 3 men ever to do that. Hall of Fame names Rick Klun and Kevin Van Dam are the others.
Just a quick recap for folks that don't know. It's 3-day tournament, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and at the weigh-in on Friday, things weren't looking just real promising for you at that point, right?
You know, I was disappointed. It wasn't anything that I was hoping for. You know, I really wanted to bring in 5 fish, and I knew the lake was fishing tough, but, you know, I was down the list, a pretty good bit, so. It wasn't a good day, but, you know, you just, you try to do everything that you can to, you know, catch a good stringer fish, so.
Sure, you bet. How did you fish on Friday of the Bassmaster Classic?
Well, I started the tournament on a place that I ended up catching,
you know, the big stringer,
second, third day. I started there, you know, I raced to it. I was nervous that morning because I knew what could happen there if they showed up. And, you know, I got there and we had a real bad south wind that day and it was really cloudy. And, you know, at the time I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know if the cloud, if it was going to be on fire that morning, you know, cause there was a shad spawn. I didn't know if it was going to be terrible. And, you know, I fished it for about 30 minutes and, you know, never got a bite. And, you know, I ran around and fished shallow and I revisited that spot three times, you know, two more times throughout the day and I never caught a fish. And, you know, it was disappointing because I knew what was, you know, from the last day of practice, I caught several big fish off of it. So I knew, you know, there was something special about it.
And it turned out to be real, real special in the end, for sure.
You know, the second day I started my tournament there and I never caught a fish. And, you know, I'm just thinking, at the time I'm thinking, you know, hey, you know, they're gone. You got to go do something else, you know, and tried a bunch of other things and never had a fish. And the second day at noon, I rolled up there and I'm like, well, this is my last ditch effort, you know, to catch. And they were there. And it was just my first fish off that spot was 7-7. And, you know, from then on out, it was just, you know, they were there.
Magical. That was a blessed spot.
It was a blessed spot. It was the best spot on the lake, and I just happened to find it. And, you know, it was one of those deals, though. It wasn't like I pulled up and smashed them. You know, it was a grind there. It took, if I had a lot of places on the lake, I probably wouldn't have won the tournament because I found one spot, and, you know, it gave me the confidence to stay there. And more fish kept coming there, I felt like, or pulling up, and it was just one of those magical deals.
To describe the area where you won the Bassmaster Classic to everybody, it was it looked to me like I was watching you on Bassmaster Live, and it looked like a kind of a long point with maybe a big flat out there. Was that a hard bottom surface? Describe the spot.
Yeah, so, you know, it was just a point in the mouth of one of the many toes on the lake. You know, it looked like about every other point. And, you know, when I found it, I was looking for places that, you know, I thought fish may be coming out, you know, from spawn. And, you know, I didn't really like the shallow bite out there. So I was just looking for stuff, you know, and that point in particular, it was, you know, on both sides of the point, it fell off, you know, several feet. So it, you know, the middle of the point came out a good ways, but up on top of this point, there was a hard bottom spot. And I don't know what it was, if it was shale or just gravel or what it was, but it wasn't big rock. You couldn't get hung on it, but it was just a hard bottom spot. And, you know, it was real subtle. It wasn't, you know, like I said, huge rock or anything. It wasn't something you could size scan and just say, oh, you know, that looks amazing. But with a football jig or a big worm or crankbait, you could tell coming through there that it was a harder bottom. And
yeah,
a lot of the points out there didn't have that. And, you know, I couldn't run a pattern out there. And it was just, you know, it was just one of those special deals.
And you caught all your fish on a football head, or most of your fish, I believe, on a big football jig with a Strike King Rage Craw on there. And that's what you and I have in common, Jordan. My one double-digit fish of my life came on Big O's Strike King Rage Craw, and your Bassmaster Classic win came with that Rage Craw. That old craw produced pretty good.
It produced big, and, you know, it was a confidence bait. I was throwing a big jig with that. I was throwing a Space Monkey, too. It's about the same as the Rage Craw, just a little bit longer claws. And, you know, they just wanted that jig. You know, I tried a lot of different baits there. I threw a bullworm. I threw a crankbait. And I caught a few fish on those as well. But that last day, I experimented with a lot of different baits. And that football jig, I caught my first big one on it. Then I caught my second big one on it. And I was throwing other baits there. And every time I pick up that jig, it seemed like I'd catch one. So about midway through the day, I said, this is what I'm throwing the rest of the day. And I threw a Carolina rig, and in that jig, something about it, they were just, you know, they were eating it. So it was amazing. It was a confidence deal. You know, I saw a lot of fish on a big football jig before back home, and it was just an awesome bite. And man, it was just a blessed day and a dream day. So
what a day it was. That's Jordan Lee from the spring of 2017. 4 years ago this spring, he won the Bassmasters Classic. 1 year later, he did it again. Like I said, only three guys have done that. The legendary Rick Klun, Kevin Van Dam, and Jordan Lee. Now fishing the Major League Fishing Bass Pro Tour. We've got some big brags and beautiful fish up on the bragging board this week that I want you to check out. You might do that at kinderoutdoors.com. And then when we come back, we'll make a little sachet around the nation and talk about some of these big fish that have popped up on the bragging board. And something very special that Tammy Miller of Appleton City, Missouri, said to me this past week that I think is important enough to share with you.
Hi, I'm Ken Darcy with Remington. And when I'm not in the great outdoors, I'm thinking about it with Kinder Outdoors.
Hey, I want to let you know about something that's brand new and coming to South Dakota this fall. The Dead Rabbit Lodge. You see, the owner received his higher learning from the University of South Dakota, the Coyotes. The dreaded enemy of the University of South Dakota Coyotes is the South Dakota State University Jackrabbits. Therefore, the name, the Dead Rabbit. The Dead Rabbit Lodge sits on the eastern bluffs of Big Blue Lake Owyhee. The view from your giant Western Canada Red Cedar Lodging stretches from the dam to the south, almost all the way up to North Dakota. The Big Lodge is finest splendor from top to bottom, perfect for big family or corporate groups. But the Dead Rabbit will also feature separate hotel-style rooms, a great game room and bar for entertaining, guest-only dining featuring the Rabbit's award-winning chef, oh, and about 40,000 acres of the finest pheasant hunting in the world. You won't forget the Dead Rabbit.
Now, more than maybe ever, we could all use a little getaway. And the Vineyards Campground and Cabins in Grapevine, Texas is the perfect spot. We are open for business and with well-thought-out precautions to help keep our guests safe. Bring the RV and enjoy our full-service hookups complete with cable TV, ramped-up Wi-Fi, and space to spread around while enjoying a great view of Grapevine Lake. We can comfortably accommodate any size RV or motorhome with plenty of pull-through sites. The Vineyards also features spacious lakefront cabins, fully equipped with all that you and your family will need to enjoy comfort camping. Our campground store is well-stocked with everything from groceries and ice to firewood and fishing supplies. Don't forget to bring the boat! The Vineyards Campground and Cabins features a private boat ramp with plenty of parking, a private beach, kayak, bicycle and paddleboard rentals, and even a full-service laundry on-site. Come to the Vineyards! We're right in the middle of Dallas-Fort Worth. But you'll feel millions of miles away. VineyardsCampground.com.
There are some very important factors to check when purchasing a hunting blind. They need to be quiet. They need to have an all-day hunt level of comfort. It's got to be dry inside, even in a downpour. Dillon hunting blinds have earned a strong reputation across North America for their durability, insulation, and marine decking fiberglass floor that will never rot in every blind. Plus smart components like an aluminum RV-type door, real glass in the windows that flip in and up with quiet and simple-to-use friction hinges, drip rails on the windows and above the door to keep the wet out. Hey, anyone can build a box. Dillon builds hunting blinds, conceived, drawn up, constructed, and used by hunters. Lightweight and durable, completely assembled, fiberglass inside and out with foam insulation in between. You can't beat a Dillon. For a dealer near you or to become a dealer, visit DillonManuf.com. That's DillonManuf.com.
Every animal that has ever roamed this planet was designed as hunted or hunter, predator or prey. We are hunters. If it were ever necessary, even the strictest vegan would return to the wild, driven to survive by the instincts of his ancestors. Those who hide behind the soft delusion of their own ignorance do so from within a civilization whose very being costs the lives of countless creatures every single day. Death is an undeniable fuel of life. This is the undeniable truth of existence. To live in balance with the planet that sustains us, we must admit and embrace the nature within us. Trust the hunter in your blood.
Wing shooting in Argentina is an activity that must be experienced rather than explained. Dove are considered to be a plague in the area, so there are no bag limits, and there are no seasons to hunt them.
We've got 20 million birds on the roost, and they're there 365 days a year. They're there every day, all day. They fly 8 hours a day, every day.
At Cordoba Doves, you'll enjoy delicious food, exceptional hospitality, beverages in the field, your own personal bird boy.
Bird boy's job is to pour shells in your bag when you're going through a box every 5 minutes and keep count of the birds that you've shot and to bring you something to drink every few minutes. At the end of the day, we pick up all the hulls and pick up the birds, but you can't send him out to pick up birds at 600 or 800 times a day.
Experience the very best that Argentina has to offer through Cordoba Doves. Contact the U.S. Representative Lane Balky at Cordoba Doves.
My name is Jose Grasso, the owner of JJ Caceria. Can see me in Argentina.
We swapped Neighbor Jones some good cigars for an evening hunt in the honey hole. Come along with Kender Outdoors and the Dallas Safari Club.
As you make your way through the old pasture gate at the bottom of the hill, DSC is there. When you step on the tarmac for a South African summit on poaching, DSC is there. When you carry your fly rod into the Bighorn River or your neighbor's perch pond, we're there too. BigGame.org.
I mentioned last hour that we had some giant bass coming out of Texas from our Sharelunker program. Well, guess what? There are some incredibly big perch popping up across the country. Jefferson County, Missouri. Sharon Christopher of Cedar Hill. She was fishing at Bull Shoals Lake a few weeks back when she caught a 2-pound, 7-ounce yellow perch. New state record. She's on the bragging board. KinderOutdoors.com. Moving on up to Wisconsin. Adam Mann of Manissee, Wisconsin, fishing through the ice, Lake Cascade. A new state record there. You know, in Wisconsin, it's got to be a big perch to be the new state record. They catch them up there. 3.22, 3-pound perch, you kidding me? 16 1/4 inches long. Adam's on the bragging board, too, at KinderOutdoors.com. Tammy Miller from Appleton City, Missouri, looks happy in this picture she sent me. She caught the first bass of the year fishing from the bank at a pond that she did not give me directions to, by the way. And she said something that caught my attention. She was fishing with her family. She said, "We enjoy going even if they're not biting, because sometimes the fishing isn't about the fishing." She nailed it right on the head. And I think if all of us would go with the intention of enjoying time with our family, that the catch, golly, it'd be so much more enjoyable. If we go in search of a limit, that's probably not going to happen. Tammy said that her youngest daughter lives an hour and a half away but comes home every weekend, and when they can, they go fishing. It's what they do. Tammy lost her husband back on December 22nd, and she says, "It's more important to me now than ever that I make time with her." She said, "My husband was everything to my youngest daughter. He wasn't her father, but he was her daddy. He took her deer hunting from the time she was old enough to go up until the last season that he could go. He taught her how to spot deer and turkey in the thickest, wooliest patches of the woods." Tammy said she still gets emotional when she thinks about how much he meant to her and her family, her kiddos, and how important it is to make those memories. "Just being together," she said. Right on the money. Tammy, no one could have said that any better. Thanks for sharing with us. Hey, this corner of the Camp House is brought to you by our friends at Joshua Creek Ranch, where they're selling memberships now. That's right. You can have ranch privileges without having to cook dinner or haul hay. Enjoy your ranch, Joshua Creek Ranch. Learn more at KinderOutdoors.com. Special guest in the Camp House today, Kinder Outdoors Pro Staffer Kelly Jordan. Last hour, we were talking about the spawn and how to go about fishing it. And just in case you missed that.
Hey, let's talk about fishing a little bit. I really want to talk post-spawn, but we have to address the spawn a little bit because, you know, they are up more shallow. It's a great opportunity to get the kids excited walking along the bank because they might actually see a big old fish swimming around up in there and might even catch one, KJ.
Yeah, this is the best time of year for to catch a big one because there's more big fish in shallow water than any other time of year, and that's why people like to fish in the spring. Kind of like deer hunting in the rut, man. When the bass are coming on the bed, they're all coming shallow. Those big fish that maybe live out in the middle of the lake in 30 feet of water all year, they're going to come into the shorelines, and you have the most amount of fish in accessible parts of the water of the lake to fish for people how they like to, you know, cast visible targets, shoreline brush, stuff they can see, stumps in the water, as well as fishing off the shoreline and, you know, around lakes or ponds or what have you. It's just, this is when it goes down.
You bet it is. Not only are, you know, you don't have to have a boat out in 20 to 30 feet of water. You know, you can fish from the bank, you can fish from the dock, you can fish from that boat and catch the fish of a lifetime right now. Lots of brand new fishermen, Kelly, and they really don't need to invest a ton of money and buy a ton of stuff to get started. They just want to walk the bank and pick up a couple of lures that might work and a rod and reel. What do they need to go grab?
Well, the, you know, easiest probably in around this springtime spawn time is, you know, heck, it's just a wacky worm, and a wacky worm is the simplest way to fish. It's a cinco. Everyone's probably heard of a cinco. A cinco is another, was born of the wacky worm style of fishing, but I'll go into that real quick. But basically a wacky worm, they'll get you a 6-inch trick worm. Manufacturer doesn't matter. Zoom makes a good one. Lake Fork Tackle makes it. There's all kind of them out there. Typically in your more green patterns, you know, you're trying to look more like a brim or a worm or something like that. That's green pumpkins, watermelons, watermelon red flake, maybe a little bit of orange in a few of them, maybe a chartreuse tip tail on them because a lot of them have a chartreuse tail. You know, so that's just a good color scheme. And a wacky worm, you just get you about probably a 1-aught or a 2-aught little smaller straight shank hook, and you hook that worm right in the egg sac, which is almost a little bit off center, but it's still kind of in the middle of the worm. And you don't put any weight on it, and you just throw it out there. And you leave it on slack line, let it sink, for maybe give it a 5 to 10 count. If it's deeper, 10 count. If it's 1 or 2 feet, 3 feet of water, maybe a 5 count. And then you pick up and see if it's on there. Watch your line because they'll grab it and be moving off. If you feel it tight, just start reeling and maybe get a little small hook set. You don't have to set the hook real hard with that exposed hook. And work it. After about the 5 count, pull it up and maybe give it a couple wiggles, and you're pulling that wacky worm back up to the surface and let it fall probably another 5 or 10 count, and maybe do that one more time. I usually don't do it more than 3 times, and then repeat a cast again. It's almost in your fishing targets. They do make weedless hooks that have little weed guards on them that makes it a little bit more weedless. It does snag up a lot, but if you get hung up and break off, you're just losing a hook and a little plastic worm. It's about the deadly springtime, spawn time bait that there is. A cinco, which is a stick worm, 5 inches is the standard size. You can also rig that wacky style, which is hooked right in the center. It makes a nice, it falls perfect, and it a cinco is deadly because it has so much salt in it, and it's heavy. It actually wiggles when it falls on slack line, which is one of the reasons a cinco is the best ever on a stick worm. And or you can rig it wacky style, or you can rig it Texas rig. And I like to throw that one Texas rig a lot with a 3 to a 5-aught hook and heavier line, you know, 12, 14, 15, 17, or even 20-pound line if you're in heavy cover and big fish are around. And you rig that Texas style, which means, you know, hook your hook in there and put the point of the hook back into the bait so it's pretty weedless. You can pull it through grass and cover pretty well and fish it the exact same way as you would a wacky worm. Throw it out there, target cast at light spots, dark spots, next to a stump, underneath a dock, underneath the shade of a tree, back in a little pocket, maybe where you see a little deeper, little, you know, get anything, and throw it out there. Again, on slack line, let it sink, you know, 5, maybe a 10 count, and then pick up, see if it's heavy, or if it's heavy, a fish has got it, and kind of just kind of get tight, and if it's moving, set the hook at the fish. If not, pull it back up to the surface, you know, maybe give it a couple little pops, and you're just moving that bait towards you maybe 2 or 3 feet, and you're also moving it up to the close to the surface of the water again. Throw slack back at it again and let it sink, do its little deal. It'll wiggle all the way down to the bottom on slack line again, and do that 2 to 3 times. You can do it all the way back to you when you're fishing and catch them that way, but typically a lot of your bites will happen in the on the initial fall or the second or the third. And like I said, nothing wrong with working all the way back to you, but I typically pick it up and make another cast after 2 or 3 sessions of that, pulling it up and letting it fall again. And that is, in a nutshell, probably the easiest way to catch bass this time.
Yeah, there you go. And you're not going to spend much money at Bass Pro Shop or even Walmart. Nope. Where would you go?
Need a hook, some hooks, a couple packs of worms, and you are in business.
KJ, Major League Fishing's Kelly Jordan, one of our staff pros here at Kinder Outdoors. Going to take a little break, come back and talk post-spawn. It can get a little tricky, post-spawn, but not when you got KJ in the boat. He's going to help us out. There's a very special Easter meal next weekend at Joshua Creek Ranch. They'd love for you and your family to join them for this special day, and then maybe slip in a bird hunt that afternoon. Learn more when you visit me at KinderOutdoors.com.
I'm Tom Watson with Bended Knee International, asking you to pray for the Navajo people of New Mexico and Arizona. The COVID-19 pandemic has hit these native people exceptionally hard. In many cases, multiple families live in the same home. Water is carried from muddy streams for household use, and medical care is many miles away. I simply ask that you join me in lifting them up to the Lord. To learn more, please visit bendedknee.org.
Imagine a change in Hollywood's message. Imagine a big screen version of your life, telling your story as a God-fearing, red-blooded hunter. Manifesting your God-given right and skill to gather groceries in the woods and pray over them on the dinner table. Lots of folks seem to think this film is a great idea.
This is Michael Waddell.
I'm Tachi Hayes.
Hey, this is your blood brother, Ted Nugent.
And want to partner with you to build the first ever hunter-funded, God-glorifying movie centered around our hope, our heritage, our harvest. What this world needs is a hunter. You make this world a better place. Come on. TheHarvestMovie.com. Whether you're new to firearms or an experienced, skilled shooter, the knowledgeable, friendly staff at Marksman Firearms and Outfitters is there to help. Marksman Firearms features an extensive selection of firearms, accessories, and specialty items. Military and first responders get a 10% discount, and they offer a 90-day layaway, same as cash. Buy, sell, or trade at any of their Texas stores, Granbury, Killeen, Mansfield, and Wichita Falls. For more info, visit MarksmanFirearms.com. Make your mark at Marksman. If you fry your turkeys during the holiday season and you're tired of the hassle of pots, open flames under hot oil, and sticky, oily messes, then it's time to take a good look at the Cajun Fryer by R&V Works. The original, the last fryer that you'll ever need to purchase. Cajun Fryer puts pro-level frying gear in your backyard or hunt and fish camp. These are high-performance, low-maintenance deep fryers that feature the heat source in the oil. Your oil heats from the inside out. If your family loves a fish fry, Cajun Fryer is a must. Because the heat source is suspended in the oil, small crumbs and pieces that burn fall to the bottom. So your oil stays much cleaner, many times lasting the entire year. Often imitated, never duplicated. Don't be fooled. Take a look at the original Cajun Fryer at CajunFryer.com. Fresh, crisp, delicious every time. CajunFryer.com. Here's a great alternative to corporate team building, client entertainment, and employee appreciation. Northern Sky Outfitters near Jacksboro, Texas. Just a little over an hour from DFW Airport, Northern Sky offers up a beautiful ranch at the top of the Texas Hill Country, teeming with wildlife. You'll find a welcoming camp at Northern Sky, too, with comfortable lodging to suit the individual or the whole group. I've hunted with Keith and Barbara Weems at Northern Sky Outfitters a couple of times now, and I'm looking forward to my next trip. Northern Sky Outfitters caters to both the rifle and bow hunter for hogs, whitetail, and exotic wildlife, axis deer, and black buck hunts. With a mild winter and great rainfall over the past year, Northern Sky Outfitters has the kind of quality wildlife that you just won't find on very many ranches. If you're looking for a hunt that's close to the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex with great amenities and abundant quality wildlife, Northern Sky Outfitters deserves a good look. Do that now at NorthernSkyOutfitters.com.
The Dallas Safari Club and Kender Outdoors are made in the USA, built by freedom-loving, hard-working, constitution-defending hunters, fishers, and shooters. If that's you, come on in the camp house. If not, you made a wrong turn somewhere.
DSC is at the forefront of support for true science-based conservation that makes life better for wild places, wild things, and future generations. Learn more about us at biggame.org.
You know, it's a fun time to go bass fishing right now. They're up there spawning in the south, a lot of places in the north. A little later on, your fun time is still coming. But when the spawn is over, they start coming off in stages. They're a little scattered. Kelly Jordan is going to help us fish that post-spawn. Kelly, how do you go about fishing the post-spawn, where and how?
Well, the post-spawn is probably the most dynamic time of year, and there's so many different things going on that if you miss a couple of those little things going on, it can be frustrating, and it is post-spawn. I think the reason a lot of people have a mental block, like you said, is because they're used to fishing the springtime, the spawn, and the fish are, a lot of them are still shallow, but they're acting totally different than they were when they were up on their spawning beds and protecting their nests and stuff like that. So still up there, a little bit different techniques, you know, can help you a little, and just understanding what's going on. And this is typically when the water temperature gets in around the 70 degree mark is where this kind of really starts kind of coming in good, high 60s to 70 degrees when it's been there for, you know, a week or two. You still have a lot of fish spawning, but, you know, post-spawn, it's just like the spawn. It happens in waves. The post-spawn is a longer period of time as well. But there's several things that I just want to make sure that everybody knows what's happening then. There's a couple awesome opportunities to catch a lot of fish in the post-spawn. One of those is the shad spawn. About the time the bass are coming off the bed, the water temperature gets in the upper 60s into the 70s. That's when the shad spawn, okay? That's when the shad come in and do their thing, and the bass know this. The shad come in and they spawn crazy and big schools up super shallow water typically, or if they're not in deep, shallow water, they're up high. So maybe what I'm talking about is they'll in deep water, think for instance a marina or a break wall in a marina, the shad will spawn up on that right up in the top 6-8 inches of water, even if it's over 20 feet of water. So it's a crazy phenomenon that happens. It's typically is the first thing in the morning. I mean, you want to be there at dark 30, and typically that bite really subsides probably 30 minutes to an hour after the sun comes up, and then it's pretty much done. Some of the bass are still up there, but that is an early morning opportunity, and that really comes in. It's an awesome thing to witness if you've never done that. What you're going to throw is topwaters, walking baits. One of my favorites is a Lucky Craft gunfish. Some of these other topwaters that people throw, like a whopper plopper, will work somewhat. Buzzbait works. But a spinnerbait, and this is a shad pattern wheel leaf spinnerbait, you know, 3/8 to even a 3/4 ounce spinnerbait with a shad color, which is, predominantly white skirt, white and chartreuse possibly. Silver gold blades, typically a little bit smaller. Maybe, my favorite shad spawn spinnerbait, if I just had to pick one, would be a 1/2 ounce spinnerbait with a number 3 and a number 4 wheel leaf blade on there. and you can try burning it. You can slow roll it through there, depending on what you're around. But that is an awesome opportunity to look for to make your post-spawn day start off with a bang. And you fish shallow grass lines. Causeways on bridges are some of the best for that, just right up on the caliche or the cement or the riprap, whatever it is. Rocks like riprap is about as good as it gets as well. You know, you move fast till you run into them, and the bass are feeding like crazy. That's one of the things that happens in the post-spawn. Swim baits work as well. You know, and again, you're trying to match the hatch with the shad that are spawning. Try to look, and you'll see them up there flicking. You can also visually see them up there just shallow, just popping out of the water.
It's phenomenal to see.
Yeah, it is. So just keep your eyes open. That will happen in the post-spawn, and you got to be there first thing in the morning. I mean, I'm talking the sun hasn't even come up yet. That's when it's going on. And for maybe an hour, then the shad kind of scatter back out. Some of the bass will still be there, and you can still catch them topwaters and whatnot. But it is a first thing in the morning thing that is just fantastic, and take full advantage of that. Now, then you get into your other post-spawn stuff. Now, the next thing that's happening is the brim are coming into spawn as well. So then if you know where some brim beds are, it's a key time of year to find where the brim are. If you can see them, you can actually find them on your side imaging sonar now if you have that on your boat or if you have access to that. But that keeps a lot of those big fish up shallow. That's where, again, a wacky worm or a cinco comes into play. Jigs work well. Square bill crankbaits like a Lucky Craft 1.5 or even a 2.5 or 3.5 if you're going after big mamas. The bigger ones catch bigger fish typically. But that's when that really starts to work great, around those brim beds. Top water is also fantastic. Buzz baits, walking baits, popping, you know, like a pop-ar. That is, another key. That's one of the most fun things in post-spawn time is those fish really start getting on the top water. And that's also one of the funnest things to do, funnest times of year as well. If you like to throw a top water, post-spawn is prime time to throw a topwater. And then around the brim beds, I actually have one we designed for Lucky Craft. It's called the Kelly J. It's a double prop bait that looks just like a brim, and it is dynamite up shallow in the post-spawn. Like, again, when the water's in the upper 60s to the mid-70s, that's kind of when you know you're in that zone. You know, I throw that around, you know, any shallow targets in the water, bushes, what have you, weed lines, cattails, edge of boat docks, isolated stumps, underneath cypress trees, shade lines, and brim beds if you can find them. And that's an awesome thing as well. And then another thing with post-spawn, the fish are starting to move out. So that's when you can really start catching them on a Carolina rig on some of these secondary or main lake points. And what secondary points are is the points that are inside of, say, a big bay, but they're at the mouth of smaller pockets inside of a big bay or creek. That's what a secondary point is. A main lake point is the main point off of a big pocket or a creek going into the main lake area. And all of them are good, but the secondaries, meaning back farther toward the spawning areas, typically more fish are coming out of there first before they get to their summertime haunts, which is more the main lake stuff. And lastly, the big females are some of the first fish to come up and spawn. They're the first wave of the spawn. If you're lucky enough to be at your lake when that happens, that's when you see all these big fish, you know, get caught. Those big fish come in, do their deal, head back out. And one thing with post-spawn, if you're looking for the fish of a lifetime, if you have the patience, go out there and start looking at the summertime haunts. There probably won't be many fish out there, but there might be a couple. And if you do find a couple, the chances are they're going to be some of the biggest fish in the lake. And that's all that's going to be out there. So you don't have to weed through the little ones. So that's my favorite time to fish of the year is the post-spawn, actually.
There you go. And before we get out of here, KJ, I just want to tell everybody, if you don't have Kelly Jordan's RTD rod threading device in your tackle box, gosh, you got to go get one. I restring crappie rods several times a year. I did that just a couple of days ago and sent you a text saying, thank goodness I've got an RTD. Because each one of those crappie rods has about 47 eyelets that you've got to thread that line through. And with an RTD, I can do that in 3 seconds per rod. It's pretty slick.
Yeah, and you don't even need the reading glasses to do it as well once you get the hang of it. It makes a certain little task that we all hate to do a lot easier, and that's golden sometimes, for sure.
Yeah, and I've got a link, by the way, at kinderoutdoors.com if you want to come take a look and order one or get one for all your fishing buddies, too, while you're at it. KJ, always a pleasure. Have a good year. We're keeping up with you.
Hey, thank you, Billy. Good luck fishing there, buddy, out there.
Absolutely, which is what I'm about to go do right now. I want to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for the time that we have together each week in this old camp house. I certainly want to thank you for hanging out with us and invite you back next time around. Until then, may God bless you and your bunch.